Good morning and welcome back to a brand new episode of Motherhood on Mondays with me, your host Jessica from Refined Purpose. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Motherhood on Mondays where we talk about the gospel on motherhood and we talk about how we can center our lives on Christ as moms. So welcome back, guys. I hope you guys are enjoying your holiday season. It is full swing. We're November, December, two more months in the year of 2023. I am so excited. I'm like jumping at the chance to like get decorated for Christmas early, which is totally not my normal personality. But guys, I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I'm so excited for Christmas this year. But today I wanted to talk about thankfulness because obviously Thanksgiving is just right around the corner. It's happening in just a few weeks. And I want to talk about our struggle as moms to sometimes be thankful in the seasons of motherhood that God puts us in with our kids. And what is kind of the cure or the antidote when we find ourselves really struggling to be thankful or have good attitudes or to be joyful? And I know that this can kind of be a struggle for a lot of moms because I've been there. I've struggled with thankfulness and joyfulness. And especially when you are dealing with a lot of those seemingly mundane moments of raising children, I know that that can be so quick to get under our skin. So today I really just wanted to talk about thankfulness. What is thankfulness? And what is the opposite of thankfulness? And what to do when we find ourselves as moms struggling in that pit of discontentment or ungratefulness? And this was something that I used to really, really struggle with. Both me and my husband, probably maybe 6 years ago, we both really got into this pit of just maybe despondence in a way of where we both were just struggling with grumbling and complaining. And we would pretty much just like grumble and complain about everything. And I feel like complaining, the opposite of thankfulness, really just shows, can really show us at times where our hearts are and where we're finding our satisfaction. And I think a lot of our root issues come from when we are not finding satisfaction in Christ as our everything in our lives, but we're going to take time to unpack it today. So about 6 years ago, me and my husband were really kind of struggling with thankfulness. And our pastor, he didn't know this at the time, but he actually came up with this challenge for us 1 year. And that year was to once a day, say one thing that you're grateful for every day for a full year. And I really was like, I'm gonna really work on this challenge. And just practically, this challenge really changed all of our perspectives. Because I think one of the issues when we're complaining or having a really hard time with being thankful or joyful is the fact that when you're complaining, that's all you see is the bad. And it's kind of this all-consuming thing of like where, you know, it starts as like, I just want to vent about my day. I just want to let a little bit of this steam out. And it's not wrong to be struggling. It's not wrong to have frustrations. But I always tell people the how we deal with those feelings matter, because a lot of the times in our flesh and in our bodies, you know we should go to God with those things, but instead we kind of want this like human satisfaction of releasing that steam. And when you release that steam, it affects someone around you. It always gets onto someone else, whether it's your husband or your kids or your friends or your coworkers. When we're frustrated or if we're complaining or if we're ungrateful, what are we doing with that? Because we have two options. We can either take it to God, who can handle that because he's a perfect God, or we choose kind of the flesh indulgence of which it's, I just need to release a little bit of this steam so I don't lose my mind, right? Maybe it's releasing some steam to your friends in the form of venting, and you're like, so-and-so, you know, for me, let's say like my kids, oh my goodness, my kids are just taking forever to get their shoes on when we need to leave the house, and everyone's crying and none of them want to wear socks, and you vent to your husband. So now not only do you have that on yourself, you have a little bit of that steam that's gotten on to your husband. Or maybe it's to your girlfriend of, oh, my husband just comes home, he sits on the couch, and why can't he just hop right in and help relieving me? If he just thought of me, he would come home and serve me better. And suddenly, not only is that steam on you, now it's on your friend. Now, maybe you have a really Christ-like friend that says, you know, I'm so sorry, can I pray for you? Or you might have that friend now, or that husband that might now respond saying, oh man, you know, tell me about it. Our kids are so, you know, whiny. It's just awful. I wish it would stop. Or your friend, oh man, yeah, I know too. My husband does that too. That's so frustrating. Like, why are men that way? And suddenly you've created this cycle of complaining, and it can not only create this environment of continual discontent and unthankfulness, but suddenly you're spreading this steam that you could have gone and given to God, but now it's touching other people in your life. And so me and my husband took this challenge, and we started saying every day one thing we're thankful for. And what that actually did, it was, it took our minds off of ourselves and our discontent, and it got our eyes looking somewhere else, and it got our hearts focused on something else. And I think that that is part of the solution of when you're struggling, is look at where your heart focus is and ask yourself, am I finding my satisfaction in Christ alone? And if I'm not, what has happened that has gotten me to fallen into this trap of this human desire of instant gratification, this self-sufficiency apart from Christ? And where do I need to repent and come back to the Word of God? And so for us, that was a huge change in both of our lives. It got our eyes off of our complaining, and it, you know, kind of retrained our brains in a way. And it's almost like when you get into this season of complaining, you almost have to retrain your brain. But just because we went through that and that was a good little reset for our minds and got us refocused on God, doesn't mean that I still haven't struggled with unthankfulness. And I definitely experienced this again, another growing moment with my walk with God, when we were living in a camper and when we were in the process of building our home, or rebuilding our home, remodeling it. And if you don't know our home story, I talk about that in a different podcast, so I'm not going to dive into the full overview of our home, but our home was a total tear, gut, and then rebuild. So we had to live in a camper, and originally we'd said 3 to 4 months, and I thought, okay, mentally, I can handle that for 3 to 4 months. And my big mistake was saying, I can mentally handle this for 3 to 4 months. Because what does that statement say? That says self-sufficiency apart from Christ. I can handle that. I can handle 3 to 4 months in a camper. And the whole story with that is that we ended up living in this camper for 6 months. And my attitude stunk, like truly dung, stunk. And it just was awful and bad. It was not good. I was in full discontent. You're going to hear about it. And my husband knew that I was angry at him. I was not happy about it. And I was unthankful. I wasn't thankful that God had provided us a camper to live in. Because once I got to the third month mark and the fourth month mark, I had hit my self-sufficient mark of where I was like, that was what I said I could do. I can't do anymore. And the thing is when we get in these situations of where we're being stretched, who is the person that is stretching us, and who is the one that is revealing those areas in our lives of where we're not actually sufficient? It's God. And so I was angry because I wasn't in control, but God in his goodness knew I needed to see that I was basing my contentment off of my own self-sufficiency and my own standards. And I was grumpy and I was unhappy about it. But instead of going to God, going to the Word of God, I was just trying to get through it on my own. And a lot of our discontent, a lot of our unsatisfaction, a lot of our unthankfulness comes from self-reliance, of trying to rely on ourselves and what we can do. And then when God shows up to show us, actually, by the way, you can't do these things, our attitudes can really be exposed, and our true heart motives are exposed. And a lot of the times we are faced with the fact that, oh wow, my heart is kind of ugly in this area, and I have maybe pride here in this area, and maybe I've been trying to do this self-sufficient on my own. And so it was a really big learning experience of God exposing my heart yet again of where, Jessica, you thought you could be self-sufficient on your own. You thought you could get your own satisfaction on your own timing. And really what it shows is I'm trying to be in control of my own life, and I'm only going to be happy when my circumstances are under my own timeline. So, what can we do when we find ourselves trying to run off of self-sufficiency and on our own merit, and when we're really struggling with saying, you know, I'm really discontent right now. I am really struggling. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like that it's out of my control. What do we do? Well, we go to the Bible. We need to go to the Bible. Let's run to the Bible together. And let's read what Let's see what Colossians 2:6 says about thankfulness. Let's start here. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So what do we see in this verse? We see therefore. And my pastor always says, when you see, you know, big words like this, don't just gloss over it. These words mean a lot. It's telling us something. It's telling us therefore. So pay attention. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Christ, right? He's living in us. So walk in him. Are you walking in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you abiding in him? That means being in his word, digesting it, taking it from your heart and taking it from your head and applying that knowledge into your heart. Are you rooted and built up in him? So are your roots in what God's truth in the Bible says, or are there some worldly things that have gotten in there? Are you rooted in this self-sufficient system? Is there pride in your roots? Is there discontentment in your roots? Most of this stems from a wanting to be self-sufficient, or even our pride, or, you know, I want to do things my way. And so are you built up in him and rooted in him? Are your roots in Christ deep, or are you up at this shallow root system that isn't really deeply planted into Christ? You know, I think a lot of Christians, we read over the word of God. Sounds great. I can do that. Love the promises. But we're not in the fullness of the word of God. And we also don't have the theology beyond that to deepen those roots, that understanding. You know, there's so much more to the Bible than just that surface level. And do you spend time studying your Bible and being in it to understand what is going on here and the deeper context and the deeper meanings? Are you built up in him? Are you spending time? Are you meditating on his word? Are you memorizing the word of God? And also established in the faith. Are you contending for your faith? Are you walking out your faith? Or are you kind of just being stagnant? You know, that also gives us shallow roots. And so then it also says, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So look at the word just as. So just as you were taught. So what does this imply? It means that you have been taught. You know these things. We need to apply what we have been taught. And then abounding in thanksgiving. You know, we need to be abounding in thanksgiving. What is keeping us from doing that? And what is in those root systems that are preventing that? So this just gives us a little bit of just context there to know, what does this tell us? It tells us that we were taught, so we know. And what is going on in this root system? And are we doing these steps? Are we walking in him? Are we rooted in him? Or are you relying on your own self-reliance? Are you allowing things to come into your brain from the world that is poisoning your roots? Are those things you need to address in your life? Now let's look at some different verses in the Bible that talk about thankfulness. I like to tell people that you need to coach yourself. If you're a mom, or, you know, just anyone really, we need to coach ourselves. We need to coach ourselves with the truth of God, because we need the truth of God every day. And that's not just, you know, one time and then you walk away. It's kind of like that verse. It's like a natural man. You look at yourself in the mirror and you walk away and you instantly forget what you look like. We don't want to do that. We want to be in the Word of God, but that means meditating on it daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, what do you do when you're struggling in your circumstances and you're given the cure right here? It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So it even gives you, here is what God's will for you in Christ Jesus is. Give thanks in all circumstances. So, what does that mean? When you're in a circumstance that you don't like, give thanks, practice giving thanks, even if you don't feel that way, even if your heart isn't there in the moment, submit and give thanks in all situations. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And this is also another verse that you can coach yourself during the day. Focus on these words, focus on God's truth, and get it into your mind and into your heart. So, do those things. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to be peace and be thankful." So right there at the end, they also include be thankful. And why do they include that? Because it's an important key part. So not only do they want you to rule with peace, they say also be thankful. So being thankful, what does being thankful look like? It is an action. It is walking out thankfulness. That isn't just, you know, thank you God and walk away with your day. Being thankful, this is an active thing. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is also another verse in Colossians. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So, are you in prayer? Are you being thankful in your prayer life? I think that as Christians, we don't really exercise prayer a lot and we don't really practice it. And I've really started to make it a constant habit throughout my day to be in prayer with God, be in conversation with God, thanking him, being watchful what he's doing during your day, and being thankful even for the small things. You know, I like to look for God throughout my day and what he's doing. And a lot of the times, it'll even be just random moments of where he throws in an opportunity for me to be a witness for him. And even in those small moments, I'm watchful. Are you watching out for the things that God is doing that you can say, thank you, God, for that? Maybe it's just providing milk for your breakfast. Maybe it's a friend sending you a nice text message. Maybe it's you getting to be nice to someone or be kind to someone and extend graciousness. I love to just say, thank you, God, for that opportunity. Thanks for putting that in my path today. Another verse I also really like is Ephesians 2:8-9. And this is a verse I actually have tattooed on my shoulder. And it's a verse that's just a good reminder for us to put our hearts around when it comes to our salvation. And this one is, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, so that no man may boast. So when we start to take pride in ourselves, when we're in our good self-sufficient, I can control my life by my own works and manage my own life by my own measures, we can get really boastful. And this verse to me is such a humbling reminder that it is by grace. It's by grace I have been saved, not by my own works. I've been saved through faith. Through what? Faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. So this is a great reminder to ourselves when we're getting kind of in that self-sufficient mode and being, you know, thankful and determining our moods of thankfulness or not on our own self-sufficiency. It's a good reminder. It's a humility reminder to not get boastful and we can do this on our own works. It's a reminder of how utterly dependent we are on God. And so these are all verses you can meditate on, that you can coach yourself over your life and through your day to remind yourself that how important it is to be thankful. Also, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So as humans, we are constantly changing. We are always moving. Our circumstances are always changing. And while our emotions are not always dependable, while we are quick to react, God does not change. And every good and perfect thing in our life is given to us directly from the Father. But also, when our lives are not going in a way that is great or pleasing, who are we depending on? You know, our circumstances are going to change. But what this verse tells us is we can have confidence that when our lives are not how we want it to be, God is not going to change. And who can we put our foundation and our trust in? God. So these are all good things that we can coach ourselves in when we are struggling with thankfulness and struggling to be joyful, that we as humans, we are going to change. We are not consistent. And so to put our trust and faith in ourselves is a really faulty system. So some good things to ask yourself is, where am I finding my satisfaction in? When I'm just depending on myself, when I'm running on that self-sufficiency train, I can do this all on my own. When we face circumstances that are hard or not the best, or when we are, you know, not feeling great, we are going to falter because we're not finding our satisfaction in Christ. And you know, I love what Paul talks about, is that he has learned the secret of being content with much and being content with little. And I think that so often we take our eyes off of God and what the Word of God says, and then we start to get this discontent because the world says we should want more. We should have nice houses. We should have a lot of money. We should have XYZ. So any time we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to be struggling with that, because when we look at what the world says, it's going to preach to us the direct opposite of what the Word of God says. So it's so important that we're in the Word of God to be centered on God's will for our lives. So really quick, kind of shifting gears for a minute here. And maybe it's not you that struggles with thankfulness, but maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's your kids. And some people have different levels of complacency, different dispositions in their personality. So my older son, Charles, is pretty content. He's pretty complacent. He's pretty go with the flow. But what do you do when you have kids that aren't content, aren't complacent, and their personalities are different? So my youngest son, Benjamin, he has a different personality than Charles, and that makes him a little bit more prone to grumbling and complaining. And I know so many parents that will talk to me about this is, of Jessica, why don't you let your kids complain? And I talk about this in another episode. It's called Why We Don't Let Our Kids Complain. And that doesn't mean that they don't complain. It just means we don't let them continue to do it. And so I wanted to use this little section here to just talk about that of, you know, again, why we don't let our kids complain, what it can kind of show us about the heart condition as well, is that from a young age, our hearts are very sinful. And if we're struggling with kids or a spouse maybe that grumbles or complains, you know, what do we do about that? How do we handle that as a mom so that we respond well and train and discipline our children in the way they need to go with the Lord? And so with my kids, it really comes down to discipling. And first of all, throwing off any worldly ideas about grumbling and complaining. The big one in the mom community is every whine communicates a need. And here's my response to that. First of all, just because it's communicating a need doesn't mean that that isn't sinful. It's still sinful. It's still sinful to whine and complain, because what does the Bible tell us? To be thankful. And so how do I address these things? First of all, you need to train and disciple your kid. That doesn't mean straight going to discipline. Sometimes you do have to discipline, but first is teaching and training. So we need to teach and train our kids in the way they should go. Obviously, discipline is a follow-up if they continue to choose certain actions, and you have to decide that within your family walls. But for our kids, just because they're communicating a need, now this means that it's my job as a mom to teach and train. Teach, train, disciple. So how do I deal with that with my kids? First of all is addressing it for what it is. Oh, I'm sorry, that is complaining. I can't hear complaining voices. I need you to restate that in a way that isn't complaining. And so when they're at really young ages, like 2 years old, they're not going to understand a ton of biblical theology, but you can say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I can't hear you when your voice is in that tone. Or, you know, even with Benjamin, we let him know, I'm sorry, that was grumpy. You need to say that in a joyful way, or you need to communicate that in a nicer way. With my older son, Charles, he's 5. He understands a lot more. So with him, we take him straight to the Bible and we bring out biblical examples of why whining is not okay. And a great example of this is the Israelites coming out of Egypt. They were a case study on what happens when you grumble and complain. And look, we do not want to fearmonger our children, but it is a good example of talking to them on a more relational side of things, is what were the issues that the Israelites were having? And then also on the flip side of that, talking to them, what was the inner heart issue that the Israelites were having? And the inner struggle was they were trying to be self-sufficient on their own, but they also did not trust in God to provide for them. And they didn't trust that the God's will for them was the perfect will. And they wanted something different than what God's will for them was in that season. So not only is the Israelites a great case study for our kids, it's a great case study for us too. When we're grumbling and complaining, we're not putting our trust in God. We also are saying, God, your plan for my life is not as good as what my plan for my life is. So we're not trusting in the will of God for our lives, that it is good, that it is perfect for us, and that it is sufficient. But we're also, you know, saying, God, what you've provided isn't good enough. And this is something that we talk to our 5-year-old about. And I say, you need to trust in me that I have God's wisdom and that I am providing for you perfectly how I see fit. And these are things you can talk to older children about. And it also is a great way of talking to them, where's your heart positioned right now? Is this a soft heart? And then also saying, like, what happens when we don't trust in God for how he provides for us? And while with younger kids, you need to keep it short and really to the point. That's not how we communicate redirecting. Once you get to those older ages of, if you have a 6 or 7-year-old, 8-year-olds, these are things we can talk to them about. Bring out your Bible and show your children what the Word of God says about grumbling and complaining. And then consistency is key in discipleship. And so often as parents, we just say it once to our kids and then we expect them to have the same level of understanding as adults. Look, you can tell an adult to not do something again and they will know to not do it. Consistency in training and discipling our kids is key. And that doesn't just mean 1 or 2 times. It means months. It means years. Our kids are not going to have the same level of impulse control as we do. And their brains are not fully formed. They are going to need constant reminders. So this means, you know, as a mom, you are submitting yourself to a marathon with your kids. And that also means that then you as a mom need to know, you yourself have to be in the Word of God. You need to be abiding in the Word of God so you're not relying on your own strength. You know, I love that Paul says, you know, you know, God's grace is sufficient for us and that God's power is made perfect through our weakness. We cannot depend on our own strength as moms to make it through, and we cannot be relying on our own self-sufficiency because we will fail. So the more we work out throwing out self-sufficiency and trying to lean on our own understanding and our own strength and going to the strength of God to be our sustaining grace in our lives, the more you'll be able to walk out these things and find yourself tripping a little bit less. So it kind of seems like a countercultural message, because it is, right? The world says yourself, your own works, your own strength, do it on your own abilities. And what I'm suggesting is the exact opposite. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own self-sufficiency. Don't rely on your own strength as a mom, because you can't. It's this pairing with God. It's handing over our will for a better and perfect will and trusting in God. And this takes walking it out. It is a contending for our faith. It is a constant putting your trust in Jesus when the world tells you elsewise. So with your kids, these are some really practical things you can do. And then what can you do when you struggle and you need to discipline your kids? You need to constantly just be working this out with them. It's a consistency. It's a never-ending thing. And for us moms, that's a struggle because we see hard as bad. And I'm actually reading M is for Mama's book right now. It's called Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad. So as moms, is your perspective about hard things correct? If you have a worldly view on hard, you're going to shy away from the bad with your kids. But with your kids, you are going to know you're making an internal investment in your children. That means you're constantly investing in them. And that means not viewing it, the hard in them, as bad, but as a walking out of our personal sanctification and walking out this investment in our children. So see the time investment as a good thing. Don't see it as bad. Don't see investing in the cutting off whining and complaining as, you know, this sucks. It's a good thing. And we don't let our kids complain. We address it. And so often as moms, we just let our kids whine because we're tired. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to have to deal with the hardness of dealing with the complaining. But here's the thing. Look at the Israelites. And I always say, whining does not lead to more contentment. Whining leads to whining, leads to whining, leads to whining, leads to discontent, leads to ungrateful hearts. And it turns hearts away from God. Do not let your kids whine and complain. Don't let them whine and complain when they don't like their food. Don't let them whine and complain when they don't like their clothes. Do not let them whine about not liking their circumstances. It always leads to hearts turning away from God, and it always leads them to leading other people, i.e. their other siblings. It is an infectious root. So address it at the heart. Address it for being discontent and not putting their trust in God. Address it from trying to be self-sufficient on their own. Address the pride. Nip it in the bud, because I can tell you this, there's nothing more awful than dealing with children that are whiny and ungrateful, you know. And for us, it also comes to with our kids. We do not let them whine and complain at grandpa and grandma's house. We don't let them whine about the food that they've been given. And on the flip side, what is the antidote to that? To be practicing thankfulness and being thankful. It's an action. It's a constant. And, you know, people will tell us, you know, wow, we love having your kids over. They don't whine and complain about the food. If they don't like the food, they're allowed to be honest about it. They're allowed to tell us that I don't care for this. So, sorry there, I had to take a quick break because we had some stubbed toes, but, you know, there's nothing worse than dealing with kids that are grumpy and complaining, and, you know, a lot of the times, part of that reason is our fault. We think we need to let our kids be honest about their emotions, because if we don't, we think that that's going to develop a bad relationship in their lives of like, well, I don't want to have kids that are people pleasers. I don't want to have kids that have bad relationships with food. I don't want my kids to have bad XYZ with clothing. I want them to be honest about, you know, how they're feeling. But sometimes being honest with our emotions are sinful. We need to direct the how. The how is so important in how we direct those feelings and emotions. It's not bad to say, hey, mom, this food is really spicy. I don't prefer it. Because let's be honest, as adults, we have preferences. It is okay to have preferences. It's in how we express those. So for our kids, they are allowed to be honest about food. In how they're honest, it still needs to not be whining and complaining. And so what we let them know is, if you don't have a preference for something, if you don't like something, that's okay. We're gonna have foods we don't like. We're gonna have preferences in clothing styles that we don't prefer. We're gonna have preferences, right? And it's just in how we express them, because it comes from our heart. So how we express with our mouth matters. So if they have a food that they don't like, they can say, Mom, I really don't care for onions. They're spicy. And I say, okay, you know, thanks for trying it, and you can leave it on your plate. They don't have to finish it. Now, this can sometimes come to a head with kids, because sometimes you're going to have kids that have different preferences. Some you're like, I need you to truly try this. And that is for your discretion as a parent of how you want to do that. But we don't just let our kids say, ew, this food is gross. Because look at the heart posture of that statement. It's not good. You can say, Mom, you know, I don't actually care for Brussels sprouts. And you know what? That's okay. And, you know, but sometimes it's going to be like, you know what do we do then? Is my kid not going to eat? You know, that's something you have to work out as a mom and being mindful of. If you know your kid has some food preferences, how are we adjusting to that to make sure that there is something on their plate that we might know that they will eat so that they have an opportunity to have something they enjoy? Or when it comes to clothing of like, you know, Mom, I really don't like, you know, high water pants. You know, I'm sorry, honey. You know, we'll try to get, you know, longer pants next time, but this is all we can afford right now. Let's thank God for what he's provided for us, and vice versa. So teaching your kids how to respond when they're met with something that isn't their preference matters. And as adults, it's something we have to teach our kids. So often we have these expectations as parents that our kids should know, and they don't. They will not know unless you teach them. And it's our jobs as moms to teach, train, and discipline. Now, what do you do if your kids are struggling and they're really whining and it's rampant? You gotta stand firm, Mama. You gotta stand firm. You gotta buckle down. And you gotta consistently deal with it. You can't let it go. You can't be lenient about it. And so often our issue as moms is we don't want to get up. We don't want to stand up. We don't want to walk over to where they're at and pick them up and put them in whatever discipline scenario they need to be in. So as moms, we have to discipline ourselves against laziness. If you do not do things consistently, your children will not take you seriously. So we have to discipline our laziness as moms, get up and deal with it consistently as they learn, oh, my mom means business. She isn't just going to say it from across the house. She isn't just going to yell it at me. She's going to get up every time, come over to me and address it. You know, we also tell our kids, you need to be joyful. Show me a joyful smile. Show me what a joyful attitude looks like. Model it for them so that they can see it as well. So here's my question for you. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for all God has done for you? And where is your heart posture right now? Who are you finding your full satisfaction in? Is it in your own self-sufficiency? Is it in your own control? Is it in your own pride as a person of feeling like you can control everything in your life? And when you're focused on your own self-sufficiency, inevitably God and his goodness and graciousness comes to show us that we can't find full satisfaction apart from him in life. And when life is changing, who is our anchor found in? And when our anchor is in ourselves, we are going to be tossed to and fro from the waves, because life changes, horrible things happen. But when we're anchored in Christ, our Father who never changes, we have a firm foundation to weather the storms of life. When you put your full trust in God and his will for your life, and trust that our God is a perfect provider, you know that you can be content in whatever circumstances. You know, my house, it's not finished right now. It could be very easy for me to be discontent in the situation that I'm facing right now. My master bathroom isn't done. We only have one bathroom. My closet is a total disaster of just wire racking. And it could be easy for me to say, why don't I have an Instagram house? You know what? When you look at your life and you trust that God is perfectly and sovereignly appointed your circumstances, you're like, wow, God, you said that this was perfect for me. You said that this was enough. And I trust in you as my provider. You know, it really changes your heart position of like, this circumstance you put me in for my sanctification. And so, are you finding your full satisfaction in Christ? Do you trust that God perfectly knows every intimate detail of your life? Do you trust that He sees even the sparrows in the field and provides for them, and that He will do that for you too? Or are there some things going on in your heart that you're like, no, I don't trust that God's going to do that. I don't trust that God's going to provide for me. I don't trust that He knows exactly what I need, because it really points us back to our heart. So I want to encourage you to be walking out thankfulness. And that's an action. Be thankful, abounding in thanksgiving, not just a little bit. It's this action of walking it out. What you focus on and what you put your heart motive in is going to matter. And then, are you being that leaky vent that's letting off that steam of frustration in your life and touching everyone in your life? Or are you that mom that's running to God? You know, because when I'm grumbling and complaining, it affects my whole household. It gets on my kids, and then my kids are grumbling and complaining, and it gets on my husband, and my husband's grumbling and complaining. It drags everyone down. So are you abounding in thanksgiving, and are you being thankful actively? We have to work against our flesh and discipline our flesh constantly. And we need to address any pride that tells us that we are better or more self-sufficient on our own and apart from Christ. So I hope that you are being thankful, and I hope that you could find some good tips in my encouragement of, if you're struggling with thankfulness, what do you need to repent of? Maybe it's an attitude of self-sufficiency you need to repent from. Maybe it's your pride of thinking you deserve better. Maybe it is you needing to repent for not trusting in how God is providing for you in this season. And honestly, sometimes the seasons that are the hardest are when you don't know how bills are going to be met. And I've been in that situation many times of like, how am I thankful when I can't pay the bills? And it's like, okay, God, you're going to pay these bills somehow. But, you know, it can be easy to let those things sour our hearts. So be active in guarding your mind and guarding your heart. And I hope that I could offer some practical applications of how to address any areas that maybe you're struggling in. Another thing that me and my family are doing for the month of November is we have a thankfulness chart on our wall, and it says, I am thankful. And every day my kids say something they're thankful for. And that's also a really great practical way of acting out thankfulness as an action. Be thankful. And so often we look at the word be and we think it's not that big of a word, but it's be. It is constant. It's not like, you know, have had thankfulness. It's not past. It's a constant action of being in constant thanksgiving, walking out that as an action. So be thankful. And if there's anything you need to repent from, think about it. Go to the cross. Go to whoever you need to ask for forgiveness and humble yourself and go back to God. Go back into the will of God and submit to His perfect will for your life and practice being thankful this month. So guys, I hope that this podcast could be an encouragement to you to be thankful this month. If you have kids, I hope that this could encourage you to be consistent with them. Teach, train, disciple. Consistency is key. And let me just pray for you guys. Dear God, thank you so much that you are a God that provides perfectly for us. Help us to trust that however you see to provide for us is perfect. Help us to be like the Colossians and have the encouragement of walking in you, being rooted and built up in you. Help us to be established in our faith just as we were taught, and help us to be abounding in thanksgiving. Help us to be thankful. Help us to walk out thankfulness in our lives. And if we're struggling, help point out our heart condition for us and convict us so that we can take action and repent and come back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have a month full of thankfulness and some tools to walk out if you're saying, I am going to be thankful. I will see you guys next week. Make sure to follow me over at Refined Purpose on Instagram, and I will see you guys next week.